This is PhotoBizX episode number 246, and today's special guest is an absolute powerhouse of a woman, an amazing photographer, and an inspirational businesswoman. I can't wait to bring in this interview. I'm talking about Anita Watkins from Canada, and it's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. This, believe it or not, is coming to you live. Well, live. I'm recording it. Live on an overnight train from Jodhpur to Delhi in India. This train was 8 hours late, so hopefully we're going to make our connecting flight over to Calcutta later this afternoon. Although the train is rated as first class, man, there are different styles of first class around the world, that is for sure. You should see the toilets here. Anyway, I'm going to keep the intro short today, because I'm going to be hard-pressed to even get this out to you with the limited internet connection that I've got. And I really want to share this interview with Anita, because she's just an amazing woman, amazing businesswoman. She's been a long-time premium member, and it's just been fantastic to watch her business go from strength to strength. Before we get into that, just quickly, the Black Friday sales finish up tonight. So if you're looking for a 12-month premium membership for PhotoBizX, you can get that at 50% off the normal monthly rate. This is $120 for a full 12 months. If you go to photobizx.com/Black Friday, you can sign up there. Now, if you're on the $20 a month membership plan at the moment, and you've recently paid a $20 payment via PayPal, and you're changing over to the 12-month one, shoot me an email and I'll happily refund that recent, if it was in the last 14 days, $20 payment. Also, if you haven't got hold of the Facebook Ads course and you want that, I've got that on special as well for the Black Friday weekend. That also finishes tonight. You can find that at photobizx.com/FB Ads Black Friday. And you can save about 40%, I think it is, on that. I'm going from memory here. I haven't got a laptop in front of me. I'm just standing in the corridor outside the sleeper cabins on the train. Also, look, if you're hearing this announcement, this is going to premium members and free listeners, because I'm only going to have limited editing time for this episode. So if you are listening to the free podcast episode, then you will only be hearing half the interview today with Anita. I am going to save the second half, which is, the best half. That's when Anita really gets in and shares the nitty-gritty of her business and how she's done some of the things that she's doing. So if you want access to that, become a premium member, and you can hear that with Anita. Now, if you want to try that out, the membership that is, head over to photobizx.com/try, and you can get a $1 30-day trial membership and all the other parts of a full membership that go with that. You get everything with that trial. All right, that's enough from me. I'll be back, I think, next week with a normal episode. I think I arrive back into Sydney the day the podcast is due to go out. But let's get into today's interview with Anita. I know you're going to love this one, and I'll talk to you after the interview.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Wow. I honestly don't know where to start with this introduction. Anita Watkins is our guest, and I made the big mistake of reading the epilogue to her Leap Fear project and feel like an emotional mess right before recording this call. She's an amazing woman. Anita has been part of the PhotoBizX group for as long as I can remember. And in the early days, she was a full-time teacher with a passion for photography and business. And a few years later, she's left the safety of a teaching job and is a full-time pro photographer. Her successes are so constant and consistent, they seem like an everyday occurrence with Anita, but I know there's so much behind her success. Things like drive, passion, fear, hope, hard work, love, family, and what appears to be this fearless obsession to succeed. I found this on Anita's About page and I just love it. She says, I took hockey lessons when I turned 40. I thought that was my midlife crisis, but it turns out photography business is. Best midlife crisis ever. I'm truly delighted to have her with us now. Anita, welcome.
Oh, now I can't even speak. That was so nice. Made me want to cry.
You did that to me only 5 minutes ago when I read that epilogue.
Can you imagine when I first read it?
Your daughter, what she wrote there was, yeah, wow, amazing.
Yeah, so now you've shaken me to my core as we start. Thank you.
Well, look, I've alluded to the Leap Fear Project. Maybe let's dive into that first, and then we'll get into a bit more about you and your work and what you do. Tell us what the Leap Fear Project is.
The Leap Fear Project was my way of coping with a whole bunch of things that were going on in my life at the same time. I had started a photography business and it was going great. I was still teaching and it was something I was doing on the side and I was enjoying it. And a studio fell into my lap, like literally fell into my lap. I didn't have any plans to get one. I was just basically scoping out for the future. And it was about half the price of any other studio and was a million times more beautiful and just perfect. And so I said to my husband, I said, I'm not trying to pull a fast one, but if I let this one go, I'll regret it for the rest of my life. So I jumped into a studio, but I got it in December, which is not really a prime photographing time. And then January in high school, we have final exams and report cards. So I knew for 2 months that I wasn't going to get much use out of it. So I was trying to think of a way to get some use out of it. And I was also trying to find a way of coping with grief. My mom had died the previous February, and I was very close to her. And, oh, wow. I've told the story so many times, and normally I'm okay. So I don't cope with grief very well. I find distracting myself by being super crazy busy is my way of coping with stress and grief. And I had also heard Amanda's podcast about her 30 Days of Beautiful.
That's Amanda Schultz.
Yes.
Who's also based in Canada.
Yeah, and we've become friends. I approached her and asked her lots of questions, and she was crazy supportive. And I think both of us being Canadians, there was a connection right there. So I'm eternally grateful to her. So I was trying to think of a way to use my studio to honor my mom, come up with a project that would honor her. And I came up with this idea of photographing a woman and posting a blog every day for the month of February. And it was a leap year. And I wanted to call it Fuck Fear, but I figured that would be really inappropriate at the beginning stages. So I called it Leap Fear in honor of leap year. I checked there was no hashtag associated with it, so it was perfect. And yeah, I put out an ad. And I had maybe about 40 people or 50 people apply, and many of them I didn't. And I just basically went with my gut and started inviting people. But the problem was, is I really sucked at photographing women on their own. I had no idea how to do it. That was the other reason I decided to do that project, was so that I could learn. And the other thing was, my mom was a social worker, and she was very passionate about, you know, making a difference in women's lives and empowering them. And so, again, why it was not 30 Days of Beautiful, it was more about empowering women. And the photographs were just an extra, basically. It was good for me to practice, and it was good for people to see how amazing these women were. So I kept postponing when I'd start shooting, because I was panic stricken, but I had this deadline of February. So I started shooting the last week of January. And I did all those shoots from the last week of January until the end of February. And I got every blog out on time. One day I got the blog out at 11 p.m. That was the latest, but most days I had it out in the morning. And it was insane. It was a brand new semester. So I had done finishing up one semester and starting up the second semester and doing this project. But it taught me so much on a personal, professional level. It was an extraordinary thing. And I think it's one of the key reasons. I was just trying to follow in my own head my path, but it's one of the key reasons I am where I am today.
Because of that project?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I know the way that I interview, I'm going to be going down some rabbit holes now and I'm going to get lost. We're not going to get back to where you are right now. So let's just go back a step, and I'm going to dive deeper into Leap Fear. So for the listener, don't stress. I'm going to go back to this. But Anita, can you just fill us in on where you are right now? Can you give us some idea of some numbers and, you know, what you're shooting, where the income's coming from?
I have a shit-eating grin on my face. I have to literally pinch myself. It is now the middle of September, and this is already the second best month of my career, and I still have half a month to go. I went to full-time photography in February, and I'm just looking at my numbers right now. I do portraits and I do headshots, and I've been trying to convert more and more headshot people to portrait sessions. So I do portraits in the Sue Bryce style of selling, with the reveal wall and the portfolio box and so on. So this month I am already at almost $11,000.
Wow.
And gross, like not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's revenue. That's great.
Yeah, and that's only halfway through the month. So I'm confident I'll hit 15,000 this month. This year, since February, I have made almost $70,000, and my goal was to hit 100 this year. And next year, I'd like to at least increase that by 50%, if not double it.
Wow. That is just so, no wonder you have that grin that you described so eloquently.
But the most important thing, I mean, don't get me wrong, the money is nice. And I understand that so many people struggle with that. I think for me, the advantage is that, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but in Canada, teachers are well respected and well paid. And if I was going to walk away from teaching, I had to make sure that I could replace that income. So the struggle has been the individual prices, but my yearly amount, I had that goal. And this year I'm going to reach that goal. And I didn't want to let my family down. I didn't want them to have to pay for my risk. That was really important to me. So my average for a portrait session, I just did the calculation yesterday, and keep in mind, this is my lowest portrait sale has been $300, and my largest portrait session has been $4,150, and my average is $2,032 per session.
I love that you know that. That's so good. Wow. So really, if you book a shoot, well, with those averages, you know that you're going to get $2,032 every time you make a booking.
And the most important thing, like I know in last month, I had a few sales that didn't pan out the way I had expected, given the quality of the images and how pumped the people were. Like, it just didn't work out the way I had hoped. And I was really down, and somebody had suggested to calculate my average, and I did. And then I felt better. It was like, oh, okay, it's just a numbers game, right? Like, don't stress about the ones that are really low, and don't get too excited about the ones that are really high. Like, I had, the day before I went to the Portrait Masters, I had two reveals, and that day, one of them was 3,300, the other one was 3,800. And I still laugh when I think about it. But I can't get too excited because I've also had $300 sales. So you can't ride too high or too low. I think that's one of the best pieces of advice that I got, was just focus on the average. You know, so I know if in the next couple of weeks, I actually have six shoots. If it's not an anomaly, I should average 2,000 per shoot.
Not bad. 12 grand for 2 weeks. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how different Canada is to Australia, but I'm pretty sure that would exceed any teacher's wage.
No, here teachers get a full, like, we're on a grid. And so a full-time teacher in Ontario, which is the province I live in, who's been teaching for 11 years, would be making $95,000 a year.
Okay. I guess that'd be similar to Australia with, if you have some seniority behind you. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you just didn't get here overnight. I mean, it's taken a lot of hard work, and I know how committed you are to your business and to your photography. Let's go back quickly to the Leap Fear project. And that sounds like it was a real turning point for you. And you went into that without even being confident about shooting women. And yet you launched this project with a brand new studio. How did you cope with all that?
A lot of crying. I almost vomited before the first shoot. And I just reminded myself, all I needed was five photos for a blog, because they weren't clients, right? I had promised them one image and they were welcome to buy more. And you coached me a lot through that. Thank you so much. You helped get me through that. You have no idea. So all I did was I convinced myself all I needed was five decent shots. And if they all had to be headshots, so be it. I was confident with headshots. I knew I could pull that off in the worst case scenario. And so after I had culled that first session, I ended up, I think, with 127 shots that I was really happy with. So I, lots of drawings, lots of practicing in front of the mirror. So it was crazy. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, is that we're all afraid, and that's why I like the project. We're all scared. Everybody's scared. And if you're not, you're lying, or you're not pushing yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, I'm 52 years old and I'm on my second great career. Well, maybe my third, because I was a research scientist first and then a teacher and now a photographer, and terrified each time, but it's worth it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I don't like the way you did everything in the last week of the month. I don't like deadlines like that, but I love the way that you made all this work. Can you talk us through how your sales process has changed between then and now, if it has?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is the internal part, just knowing my own value. And I think that's where, you know, I was sort of just looking up some what other photographers have talked about on your podcast. And it's not worth my time to do something for $150. Like, I'm just not going to do it. I'd rather hang out with my family. I'd rather market. I'd rather watch a movie. And, you know, sometimes I will take a gig because I do need some quick money. But overall, I want to make sure that my time is valued. And I can't even remember where I learned this from, but somewhere had to do a calculation of how much you'd need to make per hour in order to feel like you're not being used, that good gut reaction. And I figured, you know, for me, it's about $150 to $200 per hour of shooting time, and in order to make it worth my doing. And then all of the other work, which is the editing and marketing and so forth, has to be accounted for as well. When I started with the Leap Fear, because it was coming so fast, it was one after another. I think I did one in-person sales, and then there was just no way because I was doing one every day, right? So they just picked from the blog and it didn't go great. And I think it was about 6 months after before I actually got a portrait client in. I was shocked that I wasn't getting portrait clients, but someone had warned me before I started that in a case of a personal project that you're not going to see the benefit of it probably for 6 months to 12 months. So I kind of had that in the back of my mind and didn't panic. And so I didn't get my first portrait client, I think, until the summertime, which shocked me, but that's what happened. And I did in-person sales, but I did a digital reveal rather than a print reveal.
Hang on, Anita. So this is for your portrait client now? So, or are you still talking about the Leap Fear project?
No, about 6 months after Leap Fear.
Okay, so Leap Fear, did you generate any income from that project, or was that purely a, like a PR sort of get known branding exercise and coping for you?
Very good coping. I did make some money, and I think I made enough to cover the purchase of a printer. I bought an Epson P800 printer, and I bought a really nice 85 millimeter Zeiss lens, and I think my rent for my studio for that month. So I made enough to cover some big expenses.
Great. Okay. So at that time, you were actually just uploading your favorite files onto the blog, and then the women were choosing from there and making a purchase.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So would you do that same process again if you were to run the project or a similar project again?
No.
What would you do now?
I would do in-person sales. I'd start it long in advance, and I would do in-person sales for a variety of reasons. You know, the money is better, but more importantly, it's the connection with the client and it's being of service to the client. I just love that whole process. Ultimately, what we're doing is we're changing lives when we're taking beautiful pictures. And when you see the look on their face, you know, whether there's tears or not, it's men, it's women, it's young, it's old, it doesn't matter. But when people see beautiful pictures of themselves and they realize that I saw them for who they are, the real version of them, like, I've got goosebumps right now just talking about it. That's what it's about. Photography is just the tool I use. It's the same feeling I had when I work with students. I always felt like it wasn't about the content, it was about the connection with the kids. And I always felt like I was a mirror reflecting back the possibilities within a kid, because each of us are afraid. We need people to lift us and people to encourage us. And as you get older, we don't get that very often. And I find, you know, my clients, especially the ones in their, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, ones who are away from opportunities of being mentored or encouraged, these sessions end up being almost like therapy. And it's amazing. Like, it's really astonishing. And I'm still in awe of the privilege that I have found this as another career. Like, I still can't believe I'm doing this.
So if, I mean, by your own admission, you didn't make a huge amount of money with that project, why was it, you know, so rewarding? Or what was it about it that you said made your business what it is? You know, it gave you the start that you needed.
I think I didn't photograph women by themselves. I think everyone has a type of thing that they enjoy or comes more easily to them. For me, groupings and families, that came very naturally to me. But studio portraits, I wasn't sure was going to be a good fit. And so this was in a very short period of time, basically in 5 weeks, I worked with, I'm trying to remember, I guess 28, 27, and then some of them brought other people in as well. So in the 30s, with different people, different body shapes, different ages, they went, the youngest was 11, the oldest was 75. And it was a very intense crash course for me. And I learned very quickly that I loved it. I really, really loved it. And if you look at the pictures, they're all white backgrounds and black backgrounds. So there's nothing fancy. There's no props. There might be an interesting chair. But other than that, it's just plain and it's just about the individual. And I've expanded it now. I photograph men as well, and I find it just as rewarding and just as enjoyable. So the project, for me, it was a big healing thing. It changed my personal life. But as far as the business, it made me competent in a genre that I didn't know existed, and which is now the foundation of my business.
Love that. All right. For the listener that is a little bit lost with this whole Leap Fear project or 30 Days of Gorgeous that we've alluded to with Amanda Schultz's program, I'll link to that episode and also the episode with Michael Teo, the Aussie photographer who also followed that same process that Amanda put forward, and he's done extremely well with it, just like you have, Anita. So let's move on to when you started shooting portraits and even what you're doing now. Like, so how are you attracting clients to your business now? Because you sound like you're booking in a lot of shoots, you're making great sales. You know, do you live in an affluent area where people have a big expendable income? Are these your kind of clients? And how are you finding them, or how are they finding you?
This part of the country, you know, the average income will vary quite a bit. So there are wealthy people here, but I haven't had those people as my clients in general. I would say, you know, typically upper middle class is my typical client. I have two different websites, and my headshot personal branding website, I rank number one for headshots and for business portraits, and I think maybe even for portraits. So if anyone's looking for a photographer, they're going to find my website. And for me, one of the main turning points was when I decided to put all of myself in my website instead of trying to be too careful. And that's the one comment I will get consistently from people who've never met me, who didn't know me, was that they were drawn by my website. And the fact that it shows up as number one, or at least on the first page for a variety of keywords, has really been instrumental. And so that's where I get my headshot work from. And what I've been doing lately, for the last few months, is giving an option to my headshot clients to change to a personal branding / portrait session. So it'll be much more service. They get hair and makeup included if they're women. I have four racks of clothes of all different kinds of styles, and fancy and casual. And I'm finding a lot of women are starting to choose that. And actually some few men as well are choosing, because they get 2 to 3 hours of shooting time and much more service included in that. And so a lot of my clients that I've been getting have been from that particular process, just SEO and my website being completely me. Like, you made the comment about my hockey, playing hockey as my midlife crisis. You know, I didn't make that up. I actually thought that was my midlife crisis. I would say a good portion, I should have calculated a number, but I would say the majority of my clients are from that. Then what I do is that when I get a good sale, so my medium or my top packages, I will always give them a couple of vouchers to hand to people that they want to gift the same experience to. Because my clients, you know, they love the experience and they are so excited to have that opportunity to share it. So it just keeps going on, right? So then if one of those clients comes in and they love the experience and they make a significant purchase, then I'll gift them 2 vouchers and so on. So I'm kind of hitting now, since I've done this, probably I think I'm on the third or fourth round of people passing on vouchers. So that's been a really powerful strategy for me. I swallow the cost of hair and makeup and I give them a $100 print credit for the voucher. So it ends up being like $300 value, because my session fees, depending on how I'm thinking, $190, $200. So I give them a $300 voucher that ends up costing me $150 for my hair and makeup artist, and then $100 loss in the print credit. But if they're spending $1,200 or $1,800 or $2,400 or whatever it is that they're spending, it's worth my cutting the loss in order to get them to come in. And they've already been primed by the person who gave them the voucher into saying that this is a fantastic experience, you're going to love it. And there's no pressure in the sales room. Like, I don't pressure at all. You know, everything's up front. I'm getting better at saying the prices out loud now. Everything's up front. And I tell them I'm not going to pressure them, but I will offer incentives for them to move up. And I do give them more for more. You know, I say, if you do this package, then I'll add this as well. And that's often the thing that gets them to move up to the higher package.
Got it. So when you hand out these vouchers, do they go to every client or just the best clients, the ones who spend?
The best ones. Yeah, I won't give it to someone with a $300 sale, no.
Okay. So let's say you've got a good client, you give them a voucher, and does it say $300 value on it, or does it apply to a particular product?
No, actually, I should have had it here with me. It says on it that it's a voucher, and the voucher includes hair and makeup. And it actually, I'll allow them, if they want to bring an extra person, I'll pay for the extra hair and makeup for the second person as well. And then a $100 print credit. So it says all of that information is on the voucher.
Okay, so they can't use this just for a standard headshot session. They've got to use this for one of the branding sessions.
Exactly, yeah, branding or portrait session.
Oh, okay, so it actually says that on the badge. That's very clear.
Yeah, oh, no. No way.
Okay, and then if you say then that they can bring someone else with them, is that to have couple shots then, or is that to do two separate sessions for two different people?
I've done it both ways. So sometimes, like if it's a significant other, then they'll often join in for the last half hour of the session, and I'll do couple portraits or family portraits at that time. I haven't done it too much, but sometimes someone will bring in a friend, and so then it'll actually be two separate sessions, and then I'll do a few shots of the two of them together. I have a mother-daughter one coming up next week. You know, same kind of thing. Both of them will be done separately. I'll photograph them separately, and then I'll photograph them together. So, yeah, that's basically how it works.
Okay, so now I'm a little bit lost, because first I thought that you're doing an upsell, you know, right at the front end where someone's coming in for a headshot. So it's a business-type client, and you're upselling them on the branding session or the what you're calling a portrait session. So why would a mother-daughter be looking for one of these sessions? How are they coming in the front door?
Yeah, so it's not just from the headshot. So in that case, I had actually, honestly, I can't remember, but apparently a while ago I had photographed her husband. She has a different last name and didn't answer who the husband was, but I photographed the husband. They love photos. So now she wants to come in with her daughter. And again, I sent in the information. She loved the idea of the portrait session. I give them the choice of whether they're going to sign up for a headshot session or a proper portrait session. And so she had opted for that. I had another client who thought she wanted a headshot. She upgraded to the portrait session, loved her shots, and three of her friends are all coming in together on Thursday. And they're all coming in and they want the whole thing. They've already said that we want the personal branding, we want the headshots, and we want the portraits. We want to be glammed up, hair and makeup for everyone, but I'm charging them each as, in that case, as three different sessions, but I think I gave them an extra print credit.
Right, okay. When I hear other photographers on the podcast talking about portrait photography business, I think most people, and me included, tend to think kids, families, pets. But you really have this niche of this professional, commercial type client. Is that right?
Yeah, that's part of it. So I'd say about half of them, or maybe a little bit, getting close to half, are people that thought they wanted a headshot session and then said, to hell with it, I want personal branding and portraits. I think in the day of selfies, all of us have about 1,000 photos of ourselves where we really look awful, and we start to believe that. And relief, like the number of tears or just the sheer relief when I show the back of, I always make a point of showing the back of the camera, the look on their faces is just overpowering. And I tell them, I said, I just want you to see the back of the camera so you know it's not Photoshop, that this is the way you look. You know, I will Photoshop it, but I'm not changing you, you know, in the final image. And they're just so thrilled to have a beautiful image of themselves. And I think that's something that it's almost like one of those things we didn't know we needed until we had the opportunity.
Yeah. So really, you're not doing anything to really attract, you know, kids, pets, babies. I mean, I don't see much of that on your website at all.
No. I love children, and I thought I totally would want to photograph children. But, you know, anytime I've had a 2-, 3-, or 4-year-old around me, I want to play with them. And I can get great photos of them, but it drives me batty. They don't take instruction. So I will photograph them, but I will not post images of them at all.
Right. Okay. So again, so you're curating the content that you're showing on your website to bring in your kind of client, your target client.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Love it. I want to go a little bit more into that in a second, but I think that the first step of the equation in regard to the success of your business is your website. And I think the first thing you said was, you know, you rank page one, it may even be spot number one for a bunch of different search terms. How did you get there? Did you hire someone? Did you do this yourself? What did you learn?
I do everything myself.
You don't outsource anything.
I'm starting to. But problem is I like to learn. And so this feeds my insatiable desire to learn. And I'm also really picky. So when I came to my website, I knew what I hated, but I couldn't describe what I liked. So I didn't think it was fair to hire someone because I'd be constantly telling them to change stuff. So that's why I built it myself. The SEO, actually, you were talking about MarketTog. That's the course that I had. I think it was the very first course I had taken. I'm a bit of a junkie. I just signed up for two more in the last 2 days. And she has a section there on SEO, and she has some cool tricks. I'm not comfortable sharing them because it's part of her business. But it was within, I think, like 3-4 weeks at max that my website moved up to number one. And it stayed at number one, even though I completely revamped the website. And I think I hid some of the pages that were important for my SEO. they don't show up necessarily, but it still has had an impact on my ranking.
Great. So you basically followed what she was teaching. And if this is terrible, because for the listener, we're talking about Jamie Swanson there from the Modern Tog. She will be out of business in regard to photography by the time this podcast goes live. She's finishing up this week, which is a real shame. So maybe we can chat about what you're doing with your SEO inside the members group later.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, once she's done and it's all gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm happy to do that.
Fantastic. Thanks, Anita. So did you basically followed what she was teaching? This is what I love about you. You seem to be this kind of person who takes these things that you learn and actually implement them, and then you see the results. That's probably unfair. I was going to say you haven't had to learn a lot on yourself, but really you're learning from what's worked for other people and just using it in your business your way. Is that fair?
Yeah. The reality is I'm like everyone. I get lots of ideas. I don't implement them all, but implementing something is better than nothing. And even implementing things 20% is enough to push you forward. You know, I'm a bit of a, you know, dog with a squirrel. I get distracted easily, but the things that I've implemented have seemed to help. And there's a lot of, you know, rabbit holes I jumped down and things that, you know, didn't help, but everything teaches you something, right? It's not a failure. You just learned something that doesn't work. And that's useful information too. And I think that I'm a scientist by training, and that's very much how scientists think. You know, you don't get failed experiments. Every experiment teaches us something. So I think that's very much the mindset you need as an entrepreneur or as a small business person. It's just, you know, not take things so personally. It's not a reflection on who I am as a human being if a certain campaign doesn't work. You know, I've done lots of things where I didn't get a single lead from it. And, you know, it's discouraging, but it's not devastating.
True. All right. So you've got your site to number one or on the first page of Google. So you're seeing traffic. I mean, you talked about adding your personality, but what do you think about your website takes people from having a look to actually picking up the phone? Or first of all, how do most people get in contact with you? Is it phone or email or your contact form?
Email, surprisingly. The contact form itself. So my inquiries will come that way. And most of my clients seem to prefer email to phone. I'd say 80% email, 20% phone.
Okay, so what is it do you think about, or even if you know, even better, but if you have to think or have a guess, what is it about your site that takes people from landing on the homepage to filling out that contact form and getting in touch to make a booking?
Well, I can say this with confidence because almost every inquiry I get comments on the website. And it's actually shocking. It's so consistent. And the two things, I think, you know, they're drawn in by the quality of the images. I think I did a good job picking a variety of images that show, you know, people at their best. And actually every single person on my website thinks that they're not photogenic. That's even more awesome. But they all comment that they felt like they already knew me. And I think that's a huge thing because ultimately I'm not the best photographer in my area. Like, I'm not, but I'm probably the busiest and I'm probably making the most money. And the reason is because my clients, when they look at the images, what they think about is how much fun they had, how valued they felt, how connected to themselves that they felt, and just the whole experience. And, you know, they look at the photo and they just have this wave, you know, of all those endorphins being released in the brain of the positive experience that they had. It's been consistent. And I can say that with 100% confidence. That's what it's all about. You know, there are photographers out there who are technically and artistically better than me, but they're assholes. And they don't know how to connect with people. And look, the clients tell me that, right? Like they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, they've been to, you know, I try not to ask who, but I had one woman who said that she and her friend had been to two photographers in the last 12 months and didn't like a single image. I did my test shots of her headshots and she already said the test shot was better than any image that she had already had. So, you know, I think it's about people. And so your website has to show that you're excited about people and working with people and that you have a personality that they can either choose to walk away from because they think that you're an idiot or they're drawn to. And every single one of my clients has been amazing. Like they really have. I must be repelling people I don't want to work with. But I think in a really effective way. It's not a bland website. And for sure, there's going to be people looked at it and thought, yeah, she's a dork. But yeah, I think that's what it is. And no, I think I know because they tell me. They're just drawn in. They felt like they knew me already. They felt they could trust me. They love the fact that I address the whole idea about my tagline about being specializing in people who think they aren't photogenic. Because I'd say, you know, 90, 95% of the people I work with think that they're not photogenic. And they're gorgeous. Like they're beautiful, handsome, attractive people. And I think it's a relief to them to see that on my website. Oh, she gets me.
Yeah. So for someone listening, and share your process of getting your personality, the way you think, the way you act, the way you attract the kind of people that you do, how did you get that onto the page?
Okay, honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
There was a page template that had all the stuff, and I have like about me page, there's 8 facts. There was a little template that just had 8 little things. I thought, oh, great, I can put 8 cool facts about myself. And so I tried to think of 8 interesting things about myself. I probably had done some of these as exercises for other courses where I had to brainstorm things. So like if I had to start over, you know, nobody wants to really hear, you know, I love people. You know, it's the first time I picked up the camera, I knew it was for me and, you know, all that bullshit. Like nobody really cares. Or, you know, I know people who put up what kind of equipment they shoot with. No one cares about that. They just want to know that you're a decent person who cares about them. And so I think with most of my stuff, and I can't even remember where I learned it from, but just that notion of it's not about me, it's about them. So, you know, like I had this as 3 words I'd come up from some exercise and said insightful, fearless, and authentic. And it's not about me. Each one of those I describe as how is this going to be of benefit to them? So insightful, it just means that I know when they're holding back and I know when I have to talk to them and mess around with them a little bit to get comfortable in front of the camera. That's how I'm using that particular skill to make their experience better. And I think that's true in any kind of marketing, right? It's not about us, it's about them.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Anita, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for making it easy. But you're one of the main reasons why I am where I am today. And thank you so much for running this podcast. I know it's your passion project. And I don't think you hear enough about what a difference that you make in photographers' lives. And you do it with compassion and integrity and enthusiasm. And you teach all of us so much. And I'm trying hard not to cry.
You're doing it to me too.
Honestly, Andrew, you're one of the key reasons that I've been able to make this a success. It's who you are as a person is just as important as the information that you share.
We started this almost in tears, so we may as well finish almost in tears. Thank you, Anita. Thank you.
What's burning for you? I get to drink.
Yeah, I have to do another interview later on, so I can't start drinking yet. Thank you. I could say so much more, but, you know, people like you make every minute I spend doing what I do worthwhile. You inspire me to do what I do.
Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did. I mean, it was obvious how much I love Anita and admire what she's done and what she's doing and, you know, just everything about her. So, Anita, if you're listening, again, a massive thanks for coming on and sharing what you did. You truly are an inspiration and it's so, so good to have you part of the PhotoBizX community. For you, the listener, I hope you did get as much as... Holy crap. I just about crapped myself. A train went past. Oh, man. This is just crazy. Anyway, yeah, I hope you got as much from that interview as I did. If you are a part of the membership, then you've got access to Anita inside the members Facebook group. If you are listening to the free podcast episode and there's a question you want to ask Anita that I didn't ask, then you can hit her up in the comments area of the show notes. And you can find them at photobizx.com/246. Now, in those show notes, I've got examples of Anita's beautiful work. I've got links to anything and everything that she mentioned. It's all there. photobizx.com/246. All right, guys, I'm going to do my best to get this out to you today, and I will talk to you next week. Have an awesome week. I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.